You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show. Whoa, whoa,
whoa. All right, you guys, if you are tuning in, this is the AfterBuzz After Show for the Real Housewives of New Jersey. And this is a good one. This is part one of a three-part finale, all right, or reunion special, I should say. So let's go around the table really quickly and introduce everyone who is here, including a special guest, a return guest. But to my left is...
Hey, guys, I'm Susan Hahn.
I'm Natalie Haller.
And hey, everyone, it's Giselle Ugardi, always live tweeting at Giselle Ugardi on Twitter.
And I am Deanna Vaughn, and I quickly want to introduce our special guest, Natalie Haller. She was actually here with us, I want to say, a few weeks back.
Whose phone is that?
Natalie does a theater show of the Real Housewives, the Real Drunk Housewives of the San Fernando Valley. Basically, it's a parody on the whole Real Housewives franchise. Susan and I, we went to go see it. It's absolutely hilarious. And do you want to tell everybody about it really quickly before we dig in?
It's a live musical parody, and it's in Hollywood. And we're reopening. We're so excited to be back in Hollywood on Santa Monica Boulevard, 6468 Santa Monica Boulevard. And opening night is Saturday, October 13th. And we're going to be six Saturdays, from the 13th of October to the 17th of November at 8 p.m.
Yay!
And don't forget, it's BYOB.
Yay!
Bring your bottle, girls.
So,
That's like the key, you know, invitation tagline.
Yes,
BYOB.
Totally.
And I mean, I have to say, from the moment we stepped in to the moment we stepped out, it was laugh out loud funny. It was so entertaining. It's
hilarious.
Just, if you're a fan of any of the Real Housewives shows, you're going to love this. It's hilarious. Everyone is so talented. And I mean, thank you again for being back here with us.
Yeah. And if any of you AfterBuzzers who don't live in the Los Angeles area, if you happen to be planning a trip to the West Coast, you got to make sure you check it out. All right. So let's dig into this reunion. So anticipated. I don't even know where to start, but here's the perfect place. So my first topic for this reunion is called Now We Know. And basically, we get to find out why Jacqueline Larita didn't show up to the reunion last year. And it was all what happened as a result of the Posh Fashion Show. So what do you guys think? Let's get started.
This has been something that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, you know, because that particular episode was two parts on its own. And also, it's been the mystery that's been lingering throughout the entire season. And it's just really interesting because even though we watched the reunion, we saw why she wasn't there. There are still things that don't entirely match up. And even though I think Teresa was the biggest B ever, you know, I almost want to take back any benefit of the doubt, any nice thing I ever said about her this whole season. There are still things that don't add up that actually make me believe that it was more than just Teresa or someone else besides Teresa's doing that caused all of the drama that unfolded. And we've been looking at a lot of the blogs, and it looks like it's very possible that she could have had nothing to do with it. But regardless, the way that she reacted to it doesn't matter. She still deserves all the blame, all the hate, all of the everything that she's gotten. I was just floored by what a terrible person and some of the most immature comments that she made.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on what you're talking about, the blogs? Because for the listeners or the viewers that haven't seen it, it was a lot of the producers that were behind the scene.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, that has set up kind of this whole blow up. And because mm-hmm. I know that they were trying to get Danielle back on this show for a big finale, and Danielle said no, and they're trying to get Kim G, and she also declined. So it was kind of like, okay, and Teresa was, I don't know, allegedly blindsided, where the other women were getting texts at Son Cubano underneath the table, kind of like, yeah. brace yourself, something's going to hit the roof.
Right. Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about, blog-wise?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, there have been a lot of different, stories that have been floating around. And it seems like Kim G is going to make an appearance on the reunion.
Yes.
So it will be interesting to see what she has to say. But yeah, we did find blogs that said that the producers were the ones that planted Angela and planted the seed and warned all the women to frame Teresa, or that she wasn't getting text. Another interesting thing that we found was that Joe Gorga supposedly knew about it ahead of time as well, that Melissa was getting text warnings
and the phone
that
call
this was going to happen, and that the phone call for him was fake. He was actually already prepared to come to the show. He was next door. So it's very he said, she said. But at the same time, I'm not going to deny, I'm pretty sure Teresa has called Melissa a stripper before, which, puts her in the wrong. She has been saying so many things about Melissa this entire season, the previous season, trying to get the world to not like her, to think that she's this terrible person. And it's really hard to figure out mm-hmm. what the reality is, especially when it seems like she's been so delusional throughout the season. It's hard. It's to the point now to where it's hard to remember that we used to love Teresa. And we even started this season talking about how we loved seeing this softer side of Teresa on The Apprentice.
On The Apprentice.
Right. And now it's like full 180. Who is this person? Why is she hurting so badly inside? Clearly something's wrong. And it's just really sad that, this group of women that used to be family to one another is now completely divided.
And I just want to, piggyback on what you said with The Apprentice. I mean, I don't think I was ever a Teresa fan. I was definitely not a Teresa enemy. Mm-hmm. But seeing her on The Apprentice definitely made me a fan. I adored her. I thought she was wonderful. I thought she was great. I definitely was like, okay, which one is the real Teresa? But definitely on The Apprentice, it was a different side of her. So it's very hard for me to relate that back when I was watching this show, because I'm like, hey, which one is the real Teresa? Because mm-hmm. it kind of seems like when she's not around a lot of estrogen, she does well. Because maybe it's because she has that spotlight. I don't know, but
they started off all girls on The Apprentice.
That's
though.
True. That's true.
She was working with everybody really well. I think that this covers such a long period of time this season that maybe she planted the seeds, like with Kim D and with some of the producers, like that Melissa was a stripper. And then maybe when they all started getting back together, she kind of forgot about it and it got into other people's hands, but they're tracing it back to her. Like, remember?
And that's kind of what I said last week. I was right. I think she started something that she wasn't planning on finishing. Mm-hmm. And then Kim D and whoever, her little entourage, decided, let's just do it anyways.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, Natalie. I think this has happened over a long span of time. And I do think she's been planting a lot of seeds. And that's why I think it's so easy for her to forget what she's done. Mm-hmm. So when she's come back to say, I never called Melissa stripper. I never did. Meanwhile, both Carolyn and her daughter are saying, she told us that about a year ago. So I think she's kind of like when you lie, you have to keep up with your lies.
Yeah.
I think she's forgetting what she's done, her behavior, all of it. And I'm not so sure I buy the whole Teresa's, not the brightest bulb in the shed. Like, just the way she's reacting to these situations, just her retaliation about it just makes me feel like she knows what she's doing. And she's trying to put it off on other people, like saying, oh, Jacqueline, maybe you were behind setting me up. Like, come on. You know what I mean? You're flipping it back on her. And it's just, it doesn't work this time.
Well, so what the blogs are saying is that Teresa allegedly had something to do with it, but she didn't set it up. I guess that's what they're saying, that she didn't set up
follow
through with it. But I mean, Teresa is definitely on the crazy train, and she says it with such conviction that you're like, okay, is she just crazy?
Well, cuckoo. She's cray cray. But can we talk about one thing? Jacqueline made the comment that she had proof that Teresa was behind the setup. She said, A, I know because you asked me to do it, first. And she probably asked her I'm thinking maybe a year or so ago before, you know, all this came to be with this new season. And two, she said, well, I don't know if I can play this, but I have a recording. Mm-hmm. So I think at that point, Teresa was definitely, her back was up against the wall.
Yes.
And I think she's just kind of like fighting any way she knows how, because I think she knows that she's caught.
You know, Teresa is just deny. Mm-hmm. That's the game she's playing. That's till death, she's going to deny everything. And it's sad because you can tell that these women truly are hurt. I mean, three of them are family.
I know.
And, you know, Jacqueline and Teresa have a history. And when they were playing the clips back, you can tell that they really miss each other and they really loved each other. And it's sad. It's kind of disgusting. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what the limelight will do to you. But the most, the saddest thing here is Jacqueline's son. And that I think that, you know, Teresa shouldn't have interrupted that whole segment with a very sensitive topic right now, you know? Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about Jacqueline's reaction? And also, this totally just popped in my head. It's funny that you bring up the whole lying thing, that you sometimes get lost in your lies. Mm-hmm. At the same time, sometimes you lie so much that you start to believe that they're actually true.
Yep.
And I think that's definitely something that Teresa has, you know, that she keeps lying to herself about her marriage, her financial situation, her friendship situation, her social situation. She keeps trying to tell herself that she doesn't care, but yet she's apparently outlining things that people say. Like she mentioned that she outlined things that Richie said, and you know, she keeps track of everything in her head, even though she, quote, doesn't care and everyone's insignificant to her. But what did you guys think of Jacqueline's reaction, you know, not showing up to the reunion, and then, you know, the way that she reacted to everything today or on the reunion?
Well, I think now it all makes sense. I can actually understand why she wouldn't show up to the reunion, because we've all seen, with especially with this season, how like strongly Jacqueline feels, and you know, her emotions, and when something gets to her, it really gets to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she cries from the gut and she has all this emotion. So now it makes sense to me why she couldn't show up. And even Carolyn was saying, well, you know what, after the fashion show, we were like, don't take her. Remember, mm-hmm. she made that whole comment about not having her show up because she was just having a breakdown. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I was really, really proud of Jacqueline this reunion, because I said it as we were viewing it. I said, wow, she grew a set of balls. Like, she was just like, bam, bam, bam.
Well,
she
would not back down. As much as she could get out, because Caroline was definitely over voicing her opinions. Mm-hmm. And now, listen, I might have been very hard on Caroline this season, but there was reason to. She definitely needs to take a step back. Jacqueline is a grown-ass woman and should be able to speak for herself. And Jacqueline has plenty to say. I mean, you can tell that this woman just, I mean, she has years of aggression towards Teresa that she needs to get out. But she needs to get it out, not her sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not even her sister. I mean, she needs to let Jacqueline, you know, have a voice. And mm-hmm. that's part of the problem, is that Jacqueline can't, you know, resolve these feelings that she has for Teresa. Even at the end of one of those packages, Jacqueline kind of had a look on her face like, maybe we should be friends again, you know?
Yeah.
I was scared for her.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think the fact that she was, you know, keeping all this to herself about, you know, her son. I mean, that's the biggest thing, the whole autism, you know, how her son was diagnosed. And we saw how strongly she reacted to that when she, you know, they did the montage of her son and how he said, I love you, and he hasn't said it. So clearly now we know, like, why she's held so much in. But I think now that she's let it out, like, the world knows about her son, things are better with Ashley. Now I think that's why she was able to come to this reunion, like, you know, guns a-blazing. Like, I'm standing up for myself. Teresa, I don't care about this relationship anymore. I'm going to tell it to you like it is.
What do you think about the fact that they get Google alerts about themselves? Because they say that they don't care, and they say that, you know, that things just naturally come to them, and, you know, that they stay out of it. Mm-hmm. But yet they get Google alerts on themselves. So how is that staying out of it? And every single time that Teresa denied something or someone denied something, they'd be like, oh, well, no, because I know someone told me, or I read it here, or I just know.
It's called fame.
I mean, I think we know Melissa and Kathy both, they wanted to get on the show. They mm-hmm. had seen the show before. Mm-hmm. They wanted the Google alerts. They wanted the Twitter followers, all of it.
I mean, yeah.
They're excited.
This was their first season, right?
Second
season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. and a nose job, lip injection.
Okay.
The other one is like J-Lo 2.0. It's like, goddamn, women, you need to just chill, okay? Like, you just, you know, take a step back. It's just a reunion show.
It's the housewives.
It's the housewives. It's like, wow, they were ready to be like makeover time, you know, but yeah. It is what it is.
Well, you know what? Before we dig into the Twitter universe and facelifts, I want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out on iTunes. Please download our show. It's completely free. And we've said it a million times. We really appreciate and love when you make comments, whether they're good, whether they're bad. We make sure we go back and read all the comments and like to address things with you. And remember, keep in mind, it's our opinions here, you know, and we're super fans just like you. And we want to share, you know, what we think about the show. And we want you to keep on watching. And that's it. All right. Now we're going to move on. So my next topic actually just is a great segue of what we were just talking about. I just labeled it Twitter universe. So Jacqueline talks about like how she's, or actually Andy calls out that, you know, she's addicted to Twitter. Do you think it's a bad thing that like she shares so much of her life and what's going on, actually for all of the women, on social media?
Jacqueline definitely holds things in. This is her way of releasing her emotions via Twitter.
Yeah. I agree. And also, I have been especially following all these ladies on Twitter the last couple of hours, 24 hours, because of the reunion, and I wanted to see what the reactions were going to be. And mm-hmm. to be totally honest with you, I think Jacqueline actually doesn't necessarily tweet as much as the other ones, but she does use Twitter as a means to release those thoughts. And her defense and Chris's defense, what are you laughing about over there?
I have no idea, but let's just keep moving.
Chris and Jacqueline's defense for why she tweets and why she has these passionate little outbursts on Twitter is because she spends so much time on the internet looking up, you know, autism and beauty tips and all that, that she can't help but to use this medium as a means to express herself.
I get the impression that Jacqueline doesn't have very many friends, honestly. Like, not in a bad way. It just seems like she's really isolated there. They have big houses. There's not a lot of property. Her closest neighbor is Kim G. I mean, you know, I think Twitter is like her social outlet. I mean, and she has this son who, you know, she's caring for so much. And it's so sad. You know, he doesn't talk to her. He doesn't, you know, they don't have a lot of socialization. So I think Twitter's her outlet.
Here's something else I want to bring up. It seems like this season we've seen a lot of these women, a lot of their families have financial issues and all kinds of stuff that pops up. Like the Gorgers are selling their house. And then, of course, you know, Joe and Teresa. And then we also have Jacqueline. She actually admitted that, you know, her and Chris are going through bankruptcy, but it's mm-hmm. not personal. It's for their business. And I love when Andy actually asked her the question, so what's the difference between Teresa's situation and her situation? And, of course, Teresa wanted to pipe up. Like,
oh, yeah.
Did you think that was fair? Like, do you think that Teresa should have been able to defend her and her family situation on her own? Or Andy asked the question, you know, he posed a question to Jacqueline and she answered it. Did you think that was fair?
I think it just happened organically. I don't think it's just a matter of it being fair, but I think that is true. I mean, you know, Teresa is definitely, whether you hate her or you love her, she's definitely very popular. I mean, not popular. She's very known. She's a very known housewife. And when you get to a certain status, your skeletons are going to come out, good or bad. And now it's, you know, and it's funny how Andy did bring up Jacqueline's bankruptcy, because it's like, well, I mean, whether it's different from Teresa and her husband's bankruptcy, it's still bankruptcy. It's still personal, you know, and mm-hmm. her stuff just got blasted on the reunion show. Now, let's say people are digging and digging and digging. Now, that's going to take it to another level, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Well, and I think Andy got a lot of backlash for being kind of anti-Teresa on the last reunion. I think a lot of people thought that Teresa really got bashed on the last reunion. And I think he was trying to call Jacqueline out and say, you know, isn't this hypocritical? Mm-hmm. Everyone's calling Teresa hypocritical mm-hmm. all the time. Isn't it hypocritical for you to kind of not talk about this bankruptcy, but always call Teresa out on her personal bankruptcy? And what's the difference?
Yeah. I agree. And also, we have to remember that some of these things, too, are legal issues. So they're not allowed to talk about it. You know, whether that's the case with both women, I'm not sure. No one really knows. But I do think that, again, there's always more than meets the eye. You know, it's, you know, we talked about how sure, you should confide in your best friend and you shouldn't keep anything from your best friend. At the same time, do you necessarily need to give all of your gossip to your best friend if you're not necessarily ready to talk about it?
Right.
Is that considered lying if you keep things from them?
No.
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 All right. God, there's so much.
I know.
There's so
Did you
so
guys
much.
See Kathy's Twitter last night, by the way? She was freaking out when they brought up the parents. And I think that's probably something that we're going to maybe talk about later. But she went nuts.
Well,
like, nuts.
Well, let's talk about that right now. And here was my question, because just in my notes. Do you guys think it was fair that Kathy called out Teresa's mother, basically said she was stupid, you know, a lot of insults, and we all know, we're adults, so to call an elder, especially, you know, someone's parent stupid, a name like that,
well,
just
family.
And your own aunt.
Yeah, and your family, you know, to boot, to call someone that, I think it's highly disrespectful, so... Exactly. So I want to know, like, why was it okay for her to do it? But then when Teresa retaliates and talks about their father, which I know is deceased, why the tit for tat? Like, why is one okay and the other isn't?
You know, it isn't okay at all.
Yeah.
And I think that Teresa, who knows? Maybe her dad was super dad and super uncle and just took care of the kids. And maybe they did. Because, I mean, I don't... Do you guys know why Kathy's father passed away? Do we know what it was?
Circumstances?
I'm not sure. But the thing is that it was about 9 or 10 years ago.
Okay.
So it's not like they were young.
Okay.
You know, because Kathy's, what, in her 40s now?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So...
Yeah. So it's not like she lost her father at a very young age.
Exactly. Yeah. But also, I will say that on Twitter, Kathy actually said that Teresa brought up the parents first. But I agree with you. I think it was Kathy that brought up the parents first.
No, I mean, at least from the perspective of us watching it as a viewer, Kathy brought it up.
Right.
Kathy brought the whole thing up. So I don't understand, why is it okay for her to bring up her parents and then, what, her father's off limits because he's deceased? I just don't think that's fair.
Well, I'm going to interject here. I think that Teresa did bring it up because Teresa said, well, you know, you and Richie are going to get a divorce. My mom told me. And I think that's how it came up.
Yeah.
And then... when Kathy said, your mom's a liar. Now, Teresa is just on defense mode right now. She's just retaliating left and right. She has four women on her left and her right, I mean, going at her and going at her strong right now, that she's throwing out every little thing that comes into her mouth, low blows, below the belt. Like
completely below the belt.
Completely below the belt.
Off limits.
Because she's just on defense mode. She doesn't know what to do. She's getting attacked. And I mean, they're unnecessary. They're hurtful. I mean, this is a bad example. This is irresponsible. This is just shit that she might never be forgiven for.
Yeah.
You know, and this is family. But, I mean, she's just – I think she just lost it. She definitely lost it. I mean, we see a clip of next reunion or maybe the last reunion. Jacqueline said, I walked into your husband's office basically
– I can't wait for that.
You know, doing the horizontal polka on his desk.
Yeah.
It's like there is things going on that Teresa is just masking.
There were a lot of low blows, and she definitely did have the lowest. But I will say she wasn't the only one. And there's just something to be said, you know, when it comes to your family, your parents, your significant others, you don't dig that with somebody else. That those are just off-limit things. And it's one thing if you want to stick up for yourself and describe a situation, but to start talking negatively about someone, calling them stupid, calling them liars, calling them cowards, mm-hmm. especially when they are deceased, you know, that's not a matter of who's right, who's wrong. They're both in the wrong there.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because that's not just, you know, one of the ladies talking about someone else's parents. That's the ladies talking about their aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
So it's, and when blood is thicker than water, mm-hmm. quote unquote, you know, and when, you know, they keep it in the family with the Italian thing, it's like, all right, both of them are being a little hypocritical here. There was a lot of eye rolling.
Yep.
There were a lot of attacks on personal appearance, even, you know, talking about clothes. And again, Teresa's were the lowest, but she wasn't the only one who was acting like a child.
Well, let's talk about that. Like, because that was a big part of this episode. It's just a lot of the insults, the low blows, and you're right, it didn't just come from Teresa. It came from Carolyn too, you know? And I think Carolyn actually started it with Kathy with the Christmas tree dress.
There was a lot of side talk. There was a lot of side chatter. You know, if Andy's asking one person a question, someone's talking shit on the side about Teresa, and if it was back to somebody else, and I almost wanted Teresa to break down and cry and just be like, I give up.
Yeah.
Because she's doesn't seem human to me. Like, your cousin, your sister-in-law, no matter what, it's like, are you a person? Because do you not have feeling? Do you not have emotions? Because she's kind of like, bring it on. Like, I'm loving this. I want everything to get out. And maybe this is like the best editing production work we've ever seen on television, if it is a setup on Teresa's part. But Teresa just needs to put her hands up and say, I give up. Because this
I think
is,
she's numb, though.
She's definitely numb, yeah. But I mean, my goodness, she's taking like so many blows. It's like, come on, something has to be affected here.
But I think old school, like, this is my front and I'm not going to let you see me break down. And I bet when she gets home, she just loses it. But she's not going to give them the pleasure of seeing her break down. I don't think that she's built like that. She's superhuman emotional girl.
And I mean, do we really think, I mean, again, I totally disagree with Teresa's actions. You know, I'm not sticking it for Teresa. But in her position, there are always more mature ways that she can handle things, but against mm-hmm. Teresa. mm-hmm. And would even if she did show that type of emotion, is it even worth it? Does she even have a chance of coming out of that hole that she's dug so deeply? Because she's been given so many chances over and over and over again.
And I get
it. That I feel like that would be another reason why she's just like, you know what? I clearly can't depend on anybody. She can't even depend on her husband, mm-hmm. even though she tells herself that she can. Mm-hmm. You know, the only people that she can depend on are her daughters. And let's face it, that's not like the most functional, healthy situation. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard in that to be in that position.
Well, you know how sometimes they say when you insult other people and you call people names, it's really like you pointing the finger back at you.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, what I saw so much of this particular episode is just Teresa's insults to Carolyn. And it just made me think, like, there's something deeper there. And even when Teresa got up and went and sat next to Carolyn, remember how Carolyn, like, she touched her leg?
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, she touched her leg. So there was still, like, that moment, like, mm-hmm. even though I don't like you, I still, like, want to help you and support you. You know what I mean?
She,
like,
blogged about that, actually. Yeah. Caroline did blog about that. And she said mm-hmm. there was a moment where, despite everything that's happened, mm-hmm. I wanted to reach out to her as her friend because yeah. I saw someone that was clearly so hurt and so lost. Those weren't her exact words, but that's basically what she was trying to say. And she tried to have a moment with Teresa in a way that was gentle and maternal mm-hmm. and not, you know, there was a lot of shut up. There was a lot of F-bombs there. But in that single moment, for the first time, I saw Caroline not being the, what did someone say, bitter ginger with a lemon sour
right,
face.
Right,
yeah.
right.
That she'd yeah. been kind of all season. Right. And she was really trying to say what's going on here.
And just to what you had mentioned, there's something deeper between Caroline and Teresa. Now, I don't know if you guys caught this, whether it's going to be next week's reunion or the one after. Caroline says, well, how did you think I felt when you were siding with Dina? Or she mentioned something about Dina.
With Dina.
Yeah, when you showed up with mm-hmm. Dina. And so I think Caroline's thing is more maybe the Dina thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we still don't know what happened with the whole Dina thing, but there's some deep-rooted issues here. You know,
yeah.
these women are her.
Yeah.
And I think that, and the sad thing is that they all signed up for this, so everything has to go down on camera.
Right.
But I bet you if the cameras were off and you just had, like, a mediator, like, hey, come on. You know, what's really going on. I think mm-hmm. that they can work it out, you know?
Now, what do you guys think about Carolyn? Because she got some viewer comments that Andy read on air, basically saying, what happened to you? You were pretty much like a total raving bitch. And what I thought was interesting is that at first we were starting to hear the whole, I'm going through menopause mm-hmm. as an excuse. But come to find out, she's fine.
Yeah.
She's not going through menopause. So I'm like, okay, so there is no reason. So I kind of felt like, I don't know. I didn't feel like she had a good answer for it. She did make the comment and she said, well, you know,
I'm a bitch.
I didn't like what I saw. I vow not to behave that way. But yet and still, we still see the same kind of behavior. We see her, you know, speaking for Jacqueline. We see her, you know, still being the mother bulldog figure. And I just think that's who she is. What do you
right.
think?
Right. And I know that Andy was mentioning, like, you know, you've been called a bully. You've been mm-hmm. called a shit, like a what
stir,
shit stir. Mm-hmm. She's mean. I mean, is that who she really is?
I didn't think she was that bad yet so far on the reunion. Mm-hmm. There were a couple times when she did, you know, say some mean things, but it was on the same level as everybody else, where usually she's the dominating personality. But and she did fight a couple of Jacqueline's battles, but we did see Jacqueline throw some balls. But also, remember a couple of weeks back when they first taped this reunion, 3 days later, she was on a special segment of Watch What Happens Live, where it was alternating between her mm-hmm. and Teresa. Mm-hmm. And we did see her kind of be that sourpuss, you know?
Right.
And it's just interesting because, again, there are more issues than we've seen. And I think a lot of it has to do with Dina. And there's clearly something else going on, too. I don't know what. But I recall Teresa saying that there are things that have happened with Caroline's marriage, for example. And she's also been having to deal with the struggles of her kids. By the way, Albie and Lindsay are no longer together.
I
just want to throw that in there. But, yeah.
I empathize with Caroline. I understand where she's coming from. I understand that this is her family. I understand this is her sister-in-law. I understand that she's taken blows to her family, her kids personally, about stupid shit, about, oh, a bikini car wash or whatever Teresa has written. But it's just a way that she handles it. Now, listen, I'm not saying that Teresa's an excuse for it, but Teresa's an idiot. She doesn't know how to write her own blogs. You know what I mean? I mean, Lauren called her out.
What do you think about that, by the way?
And we'll get to that.
We're going to get there.
Yeah. But, I mean, Caroline, I think we expected so much because she's so respected. Because we're always like, Caroline, she's like Mama Bear. You know, we love her. We respect her. She's, you know, she's so cool.
She was my favorite.
Yeah, she was my favorite.
I wanted to be my mother-in-law.
Exactly. From this season,
I still have a chance, Giselle.
No, I'm okay. I'm over it. It's fine.
Two chances.
And I'm glad that she acknowledges that she was a little nasty on this season because we were all kind of thinking the same thing. You know?
All right. Before we dig into Lauren's appearance on the show, because that's super juicy and I'm pretty passionate about that, I want to remind all of you After Buzzers that the fall schedule is now in full swing. We are going to have 50 after shows per week at least. So there's got to be a show that you like. And if there is, I'm sure we're going to cover it. So be sure you check out iTunes, download those shows, make your comments, rate us. We're back in full effect. The summer is officially over. And be sure to check out your favorite after show on AfterBuzzTV.com. And make sure you obviously check us out, The Real Housewives of New Jersey. We've got two more episodes. And then we're going to be covering The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So even more fun. So you're not going to get rid of us.
Yay.
Yay. All right. So let's talk about Lauren's appearance on the show. First of all, she looked amazing.
She looked great.
I think she looked fantastic.
Wonderful.
Couple things. We talked about, we kind of covered last week about Lauren's weight loss. And there's been lots of different sides of that, of her weight loss. We know that she did the lap band. She admitted to it. And I know that it's been a very unpopular decision amongst a lot of her fans and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, she can do what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. And I want to address a comment that somebody made on iTunes, on our podcast. Basically, somebody mentioned that I was mean about talking
insensitive,
about
insensitive
that I was insensitive. Well, then mean was in caps.
Yeah.
So but somebody made the comment that I was insensitive and mean about her weight loss and being judgmental. And I guess here's what I have to say about that. Of all people, when it comes to weight and weight loss, me myself, I lost 40 pounds last year. So it's definitely a subject that I'm sensitive about. I understand that weight loss it's different for everybody. It's a different struggle for everybody. Some people need exercise. Some people don't. Some people, like, I didn't exercise to lose my weight,
yeah.
FYI. But, you know, I don't think I came off that way, but, you know, if someone else thought that, then you're entitled to your opinion. But I kind of feel like I'm entitled to mine. And like I said, coming from a place where I've lost weight and it was my own battle and struggle for a very long time, in no way am I insensitive. Of all people, I get it. Like, I haven't been a size zero stick figure my whole life, you know. So of all people to kind of make a judgment, I feel like I was entitled to that judgment. But mm-hmm. moving on. So,
well, what do you guys feel? 35 pounds. So Lauren admitted that she lost 35 pounds. Now, do you guys feel like this was a medical procedure or a cosmetic procedure?
Well, it was obviously a medical cosmetic procedure that, you know, she wanted to look better. She wanted to feel better about herself. And again, you know, for the comments that we've made, you know, Deanna's lost 40 pounds. I've previously lost 40 pounds as well. I obviously put some of it back on because, you know, things happen. But I think what we were trying to say is that she says, oh, I've tried everything. I go to the gym twice a day. But at the end of the day, it's hard to believe that she's done everything that she possibly can when we see her eating junk food or when we see her being crabby. And in reality, in my experience, I know in Deanna's experience, diet is 85-90% of the results that you're going to get. It's not just about working out, because I can tell you, I put on 25 pounds in college and I was working out twice a day every single day, and it had to do with what was going in my system. And at the end of the day, it's her body, you know, and she's happy. And if she gains it back, she gains it back. If she doesn't, she doesn't.
Right.
And the lap band is a way that you're still able to enjoy the foods that you want, but you're eating it at a restricted pace. And it's a way to discipline yourself when, unfortunately, you don't necessarily always have the willpower. Because, you know, Albert Manzo mentioned that, you know, there's people that are bigger. You know, there's clearly a demon. There's more than just being big boned or more than just wanting a snack. That it's really, you know, a compulsion. It's deeper. It's emotional. It's mental. And so it's really a struggle. And I'm just glad to see that she's happy. She's stuck up for herself.
I get that. Great. But is that, what do we think about the parenting when Albert says, you know, if all else fails, daddy's here to get you the lap band. Now that comment, how do we feel about that comment?
I think all season we've seen that the Manzo parents, if the children need something, they are willing to step up and get it, whether it's lap band or your New York apartment or, you know, help you start your cafe, whatever it is, they're going to help. But I think also for Lauren, you know, she's constantly getting bashed on Twitter or on other social media. You're so fat, this and that. And I can understand how somebody would want, you know, a quick fix because, you know, because they're hearing that all the time.
Right.
But yeah, they definitely bail them out a lot.
Here's another thing with Lauren too. Like, I have to say, like, what do you guys think about her, just the whole back and forth between her and Teresa? Because that got ugly and it got into it. And I was actually happy to see, you know, regardless of how she lost her weight, she stood up for herself. She said, look, this is, you know, this is how I did it. If I gain it back, fine. If I don't, whatever, you know,
it's her body. Then
it's her body. It's her choice. But what do you guys think about her making the comments to Teresa about her kids? You know, well, your 9-year-old daughter is talking about your husband having an affair. Like, do you think that was a low blow, like tit for tat? Like,
oh, absolutely. That was, it's embarrassing, but that's exactly what it was. You know, I mean, Lauren was definitely standing up for herself as along with her mom and probably her aunt. You know, she has so much animosity, not only personally, but because Teresa's hit home with so many of her family members. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the show, it was disgusting. I have to say, I mean, the blows that they were taking on each other was like just left and right. It was honestly, like, as women, like, yes, we can be catty at times, but this was the most catty reunion I've ever seen. I mean, it was
so personal.
So personal.
It was a low blow, but, you know, one thing that we always see is that they're always bringing people into conversation that aren't there, whether it's their spouses or their kids, and they're always talking about parenting and, oh, you do this, oh, you do that. So for Lauren, it was her opportunity to finally say, okay, here's me, the child that you keep mentioning and bringing up in a conversation, speaking to you from my perspective. Granted, Teresa's kids weren't there, and it's never okay to bash someone about their parenting skills, but she did bring up a very interesting point that Teresa even denied, even though we've seen the accusations of her children, and it was a little bit of a reality check, even though it was a low blow. It wasn't necessarily her saying, you're a bad parent. It was her saying, well, look at the words that are coming out of your children's mouth.
Right.
And look at the ideas that you're putting into their head. It was very much using facts rather than just saying, you're a bitch, you're a whore, you're this, you're that, blah, 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 blah.
Right. But Teresa takes a blow on the boys again. She said, you know, they're doing Blackwater now, but what were they doing before?
I wanted to be like, honey, just stop. She's like, she's a good parent, but.
Yeah, I love her children. Okay, but they've never worked a day in their life.
Okay, this is my thing.
What?
Okay, Teresa. Now Kathy has Rosie. Lauren. I mean, Caroline has Lauren. She has her boys. I will always, you know, they're grown kids. Jacqueline has Caroline. Melissa has the girls. And I kind of feel like, you know, Now, is this just like Teresa has just gone so far crazy because she has nobody to defend her or to kind of help her
situation? But here's the flip side of that. She did have all those people in her life, you know? Well, she did have Jacqueline at one point. She could have her sister-in-law. She could have her cousin, but she's the one who's been alienating them. So I can't say that I feel sorry for her. I get what you're saying.
This is true, yeah.
You know what I mean? I get what you're saying that, okay, Melissa has her sisters and Kathy has her sister and Caroline has her daughter and, oh, poor Teresa. But she had access to the same group of women in her life.
Nope, not poor Teresa. It's just, I mean, not poor Teresa, I guess, it's kind of like, it's somewhat bullying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think it's somewhat bullying when it was like an A-B conversation and then here comes C, D, E, and F. It's mm-hmm. It's kind of bullying.
Well, and people are more likely to act a certain way if they have someone else that's either doing the same thing or backing them up.
Right.
You know, if it was a one-on-one type of a thing, we probably wouldn't see it be this bad. But, you know, as we always say, I hope that they watch the footage from this season, watch the footage of the reunion, and rather than getting fired up about it, I hope they look at it, reevaluate the way that they conduct themselves, the way that they handle themselves, the way that they treat other people, because they are all mothers to mm-hmm. very small children, and this is footage that is never going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're not necessarily dropping the F-bomb, but telling people to shut up, you know, and telling people
blubber, blubber, blubber.
Yeah, blubber, blubber. Hag. Calling people names about their physical appearance. It's just unnecessary. It's catty. It's making women look awful, like more than ever. I think my IQ went down. I think I was so surprised with the way that Melissa Gorga handled herself the whole time. She just kind of watched and listened, and she would stand up for people without crossing the line, and you know, that was something that I noticed as well. She really handled herself with class, at least for the first round.
Well, I mean, I think we've seen a little bit of that before. We've seen, you know, lately, I want to say the past 3-4 episodes, we've seen Melissa kind of step up and, you know, she's a good moderator. She's, you know, she will defend Teresa when she needs to. She'll defend the girls. So I wasn't surprised to see that. But before time gets away from us, I want to talk about Teresa's blog. Now, that was another thing that came up between Lauren and Teresa.
Juicy.
Very juicy. The whole napalm thing. So, clearly, you know, Lauren called out Teresa and the fact that she doesn't even write her own blog. And are we surprised at all? You know?
I mean, I mentioned this before the show. I've looked at her blogs before, but it's always skimming mm-hmm. because there's only so much that I can take. And we also see a lot on the show. But, you know, we've been requested to pay more attention to these blogs. So I have been. And when I really did finally start reading word for word, I was like, hold on a second. She can barely put a sentence together. So I don't know if maybe she's dictating these blogs and someone else is writing it. Maybe someone else is writing it all together. But I do not believe for one second that she wrote those blogs.
There's no way that she's dictating.
What do you mean?
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, like, she says
no way.
She says the content and someone else, you know, spell checks it and grammatically puts it correctly.
Translates it right. into our English. Common English.
I think the way it goes down, she has herself a little ghostwriter here. Watch the show. Here's the information. And you write it and I'll approve it. Like, I think that's how it goes down. She's not writing any of it.
I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Deanna, about how Teresa is kind of smart. And I think she's smart enough to know that she cannot pull some of this stuff off mm-hmm. and that she needs to bring in some hired guns mm-hmm. to write those blogs for her.
Because this lady does have 3 New York Times bestselling books.
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 And that's what ghostwriters are for.
Well, and the books aren't about logic in life. They're about cooking.
True.
You know, and they're about things that she knows, her family. They're not, you know, this fiction novel, autobiographical...
Yeah.
You know, relationship advice, etc. Although I did think it was interesting that they accused her of taking pictures of her mom's cooking and putting it up online.
Right.
Oh, man. What else? Do we get everything in this episode? There were so many juicy little tidbits, and I know we're kind of running out of time. Did we miss anything?
I want to
cover how fantastic. I think I like Melissa's new highlights. I think that
she
looked amazing.
She looks softer. She looks amazing.
Her dress looked great, too, even with the sequins. I liked it.
I liked it. I can't say...
I know what we missed. The nose knows it. Okay.
Oh, I mentioned that a little earlier.
Oh, did
but
you?
Yeah, okay. The nose and the lips.
Well, let's go around the room. How do you guys like her new Kathy's new look, the nose job?
I like it.
Okay, I like it. It's a nice nose, but it is a nice nose. But she does not look like Kathy Waikele. You know, I was saying before that, you know, for example, Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing, she used to have a very definite look, a very definite nose, and now she got a nose job, and it's hard to even recognize
her. You don't even know who she is.
And I think same thing with Kathy. If she was on some other show, I would have no idea who that was, because it just doesn't look like her. And I don't think she looked bad before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she definitely did more than just shave it off. She got a little bit of a slopiness, but she admitted it, you know, and she looks 10 times younger. Also, something to mention, Richie Waikele, since this show, got his teeth whitened.
Well,
because Teresa made the dig.
About yellow teeth. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And let's be real, I don't think anybody in here would pick Joe Gorga over Richie Waikele.
Joe Giudice. And again, like, that goes back to all the digs. All those darn digs.
Stupid.
You know? I mean, they were digging about plastic surgery and fillers and
eyeshadow,
Botox and eyeshadow.
By the way,
yeah.
Right.
Melissa Gorga wore that exact same eyeshadow at the last reunion.
Can I
ask, by the way,
did you guys notice, does Melissa's lips look a little plump, or is it just me?
I think I agree with you. I think the top lip looked a little
just
bigger.
Like a hint, just like a splash of something.
Mm-hmm. Little Juvederm.
I don't think she'd deny it if someone asked her.
But nobody asked her.
Yeah.
All right.
Bubbies.
Well, before we get into our predictions for what we're going to see out of the next part two of the reunion,
Rosie.
Oh, God. Yes. Can we talk about that really quickly? Well, we kind of mentioned that earlier, just about the whole dig thing with the parents. But, like, first of all, why was she in the background?
I think she's going to make a little cameo appearance.
Absolutely. Rosie made the breakthrough performance this season. You know,
she
had a couple
did.
Episodes where she was the star of the show.
She did.
Rosie to the rescue. Hashtag.
Right.
But again, I mean, that goes back to the conversation we were having. You know, Kathy was throwing the stones and then, you know, their father comes up. Was that a fair fight, you know?
That's what I meant to say earlier. It's not poor Teresa, but it's definitely not a fair fight because clearly these four women, they don't like her and for legitimate reasons. But at the end of the day, it's still 4-on-1. And then here comes Rosie. And then we also see, you know, the boys getting involved in the next couple reunion. And it's just not that it's poor Teresa. It's just not fair because whether you brought it up on yourself or not, when you're in the middle of the room and you're getting attacked left, right, up and down, it's just to me, like as an adult, we should never be in that kind of situation, you know?
I think the Gorgas, though, they must have some crazy fights in private because Teresa did not even flinch when she heard Rosie yelling like a maniac backstage. I mean, she was like, I am going to get locked up. I'm going to kill her. And Teresa was just like, what's that? Who's talking?
Well, first of all, it sounded like a guy, first of all, because that was my first instinct. I'm like, who is that? But then as I listened,
knew that voice,
you
honey.
Know who it is.
All right, you guys, predictions for part two of this juicy, juicy finale. What do we think is happening?
And now,
let's go around the table.
Buzz TV.
Definitely more madness. Just more madness. We might get a little something more of where we could put the puzzle pieces together, but I mean, I think it's just going to go from crazy to crazier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think when those men get involved, it's going to get pretty crazy with the adultery stuff with Joe Giudice and all the stuff with the Gorga's financial stuff. I think that's going to come out. So
I think we're going to see some like Jerry Springer guys in the black t-shirts, mm-hmm. like holding people down, coming onto the stage, and I think Teresa needs to come to Jesus, and I think she's just going to laugh right in everybody's face just because she's just lost, and they're not going to get anywhere. She's never going to doubt Joe for one second. You know, she always says, he's a great guy, blah, blah, blah. I'll use the C word however much I want. She turns it into a joke.
Yeah. Well, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. Like, I'm looking forward to, we got a quick glimpse of Kim D, so we know she's going to make an appearance. We know the boys are.
I hope she got her boobs redone.
Yeah, the boys are going to be on the show. There's a lot going on. So, yeah, I feel like it's going to be a Mari moment. Quickly, before we end, I want you to plug the Real Drunk Housewives.
Yes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Real Drunk Housewives. W, and you can find a link for tickets opening night Saturday, October 13th in Hollywood.
Yay. Looking forward
Thank
to
you
it.
So much for being here.
Hey everyone, you can find me on Twitter at Giselle Ugardi and at Stiletto's Tweets.
And you guys can find me at It's Susan Hahn on Twitter.
And you can find me, Deanna Vaughn, at GoToGirlTV, and you can find me on the Stylish channel.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thanks so much for listening, and we can't wait to bring you another great after show next week for part two of the Juicy New Jersey reunion. Thanks for listening.
Two more to go.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.